You'll open your Bible to Psalm 23 this morning. We're going to continue the study of the names of God and the name of the Lord. And in Psalm 23, we find the name, "The Lord is my shepherd," which in Hebrew is Jehovah Rohi. The Lord is my shepherd. It's one of the most beautiful psalms in all the Bible. Probably most people would say my favorite psalm of all. And in many times funeral services, this is the psalm that is read. When you go to the hospital and a person is very ill, they will often ask you to read Psalm 23. It is a wonderful psalm, not only one that we're familiar with, but one that is so rich in meaning for our lives. You know, many times when young ones of us growing up, we have liked superheroes, and Superman was one of my favorites. And there was times that Superman would see a person falling, and he would fly through the air and catch that person. There was once in an episode that when he was carrying a person like that he had caught and taken out of a burning building, that this man was very trembling with fear. And Superman made the statement to him. He said, "Do you think I have enough power to save you from the fire, but not enough to safely take you home?" And that is what sometimes as Christians we have that same fear with God. Because we don't doubt that God is able to deliver us from hell. We trust Him to take us home to heaven. But do we have confidence that He is with us here on earth? That He is able to help us in our lives while we're here? That is where the Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd," is so important for us to think about its meaning for our lives today. David was a young man that in his life had been a shepherd. And so this psalm had special meaning for him. And as he wrote this psalm, he combined these two words, the Lord, which is the word Yahweh, which we talked about in a previous lesson, the God who reveals himself to us in a personal way. And the word shepherd, rohi, which means to tend, to pasture, to shepherd. Those two things were very special meanings to David because as he was a young man, he had not forgotten those experiences that he had as a shepherd. Taking care of the sheep, protecting them, caring for each one of them. And he saw that as his life later on, and some of the fearful things and the enemies that he faced and the trials and challenges that he went through, he was able to see that God was like a shepherd to him in his life. And he wrote about it in a beautiful way here that we can all still benefit from and learn to see that God is there taking care of us in our life the way a shepherd cares for his sheep. The question I would ask each one of us this morning is, who do you look to tend your life and take care of you? You know, many people today look to various things to take care of them. It might be their money or their career. It might be their reputation or their popularity or their relationships. But in all too many cases, I believe it really comes down to people look to themselves to take care of their own lives and have not learned to fully trust God to take care of us, as He promises here in this psalm. And David describes that God is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It is a personal thing that he speaks of God. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is taking care of me. He is caring for my needs. And all of my needs can be cared for by the Lord. Do you see God that way in your life? And so we want to consider this morning some of the ways that he describes in which God cares for us, for you and for me, in a very personal way. And the purpose of this psalm is to encourage you in your life to think of God this way, in a personal way for yourself. The Lord is your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Not just He is our shepherd, He is my shepherd. And He is caring for me and taking care of me, and He will continue to do that. And I can rest and I can sit at His table, and my cup will overflow because the Lord is taking care of my life. And I am allowing Him to take care of my life. I'm willing to lie down and allow Him to take care of me as He is capable of. So let's look at Psalm 23 this morning and look at it not just in a sense that it's a beautiful psalm that can be sung, and we are going to sing it as the invitation song at the end of the lesson this morning, but as a psalm that has a very powerful message for our lives today. Look at some of the ways that God does take care of you and me. So he begins by starting this passage here in verse 1 when he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And that idea that because the Lord is my shepherd, he has covered all my needs. He takes care of all my needs. He supplies all my needs. And that is the purpose, that is the job of a good shepherd. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. And the Lord is a good shepherd to do that for each one of us. He tends to us. He shepherds us. He cares for us. And we are therefore fully covered. We're comprehensively covered. We talk about health care today. We have comprehensive health coverage. With God, we have comprehensive coverage. That's what we need to understand and appreciate. As I said, David wrote this psalm and thinking back of his life, and he understood what it was to be a shepherd. God himself tells us what he expects of shepherds in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34 and verses 2 through 4. And we won't read that passage, but it is a passage that is rich. And God speaking to the shepherds of Israel, and sometimes finding them lacking in these very qualities that they ought to have been caring for their sheep. And he says there in in Ezekiel 34, that the duties of a shepherd, the work of a shepherd, is to feed the flock, to strengthen the weak, to heal the sick, to bind up the broken, to bring back the strays, and to seek the Lord. Those are the kinds of things that shepherds do for their sheep. And those are the kinds of things that God does for us. In John 10 and verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And obviously, the best shepherd is the one that is willing to put his own life on the line for his sheep, unselfishly. That he would even give his own life to protect his sheep. And so when you are thinking of selecting a shepherd for your life, you need to think about that quality. A shepherd that is willing to give his life for you. And there's only one that has proven that to us, and that is Jesus Christ. He is such a shepherd because giving his life is exactly what he has done for each one of us. And he spoke about that in John chapter 10. But if we don't think of yourself as a sheep, it's not going to be of any benefit. We have to think of ourselves. We are the sheep in this illustration for it to make any sense for us. We have to recognize ourselves in the proper light, that we need a shepherd, and see that God is the only one, Jesus is the only one that can fulfill that in our life. But we won't experience it unless we allow Him and to view ourselves as needing a shepherd. So when we think about sheep, what are the characteristics of sheep? And to understand sheep in a proper way, and a lot of us probably are not familiar with sheep. We don't see sheep a lot here living in the city. Growing up in California, sometimes we would see the shepherds taking care of the sheep, usually the Basque shepherds. And it wasn't a profession necessarily that anyone would really put on their top 10 list. It was not a desirable job, really. It was a lowly job. But you could see if you had any experience with shepherds. What are sheep like? Well, first of all, they are probably the dumbest of all animals that God made. And that might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but not much, because sheep do not train. They do not, sometimes in the circus, you will see the lion tamers and the, training the seals and things to sit up and bark and do tricks like that. And you're never going to see sheep doing that. Sheep just cannot be taught simple things like that. They don't do tricks. They don't have the IQ for that type of thing. So secondly, sheep are defenseless. They are at the mercy of the wolves that would kill them. So they cannot defend themselves. Is another quality that we need to understand when we think of sheep. Thirdly, they are dirty. They are filthy dirty, because the mud and the grass and the straw get stuck in their wool. And they're smelly. They're filthy dirty. And then the fourth characteristic is they're totally dependent on their shepherd to get them from point A to point B, where they're supposed to go. Without that, they will wander off. They will walk into dangerous places. They will walk away. They wander away. They cannot find their way back. So understanding those things about sheep, we see that he is making a comparison there, that we are that way. We are like sheep. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah said, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him." So we are like sheep. And it's not a compliment when you think of it that way. But we have a shepherd. That is the key. We have a shepherd who loves us. And when David says that the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and I shall not want, he's saying a lot. That is a tall order when it comes to sheep. to take care of all their needs. That's all they have is needs. They have to be taken care of. They have to be washed. They have to be healed. They have to be taken care of all the time. And the question is, of each one of us, are you in need of having your soul restored this morning? He's talking about He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He restores our soul. Sometimes if you are driving your car and you have a flat tire, that is the way sometimes we all feel living the Christian life. We feel like all the inflated, it is all gone out. We are deflated. We are down. We don't have any energy to serve God. All of our spiritual get up and go has got up and gone. And we need restoration. But we don't know how. We don't know any more than the sheep how to do that. God restores our soul if we will allow Him. He says He makes you to lie down in green pastures. And it doesn't say that God asks you to lie down. It says He makes you to lie down, because sheep have to be made to lie down. It's like our children when they are young. You know how hard it is getting your little toddlers to go take their nap. To lie down. Now you need to go lie down and take your nap. They don't want to lie down. And sometimes the only way, when Mandy was in the hospital several years ago, Cooper and Sawyer were there at the hospital, and they were little babies at the time. They were like 2 and 3 and 1. They were just little guys. And they needed their naps in the afternoon, but they wouldn't lie down. They would not take a nap. So my job was to take them to McDonald's, and they could play on the playground, and then when they got done with that, strap them in their car seat and just drive around Lake Washington. And then they would go to sleep. Now, that was the only way that I could find to get them to take their nap. Sheep are like that. You know, God makes you to lie down in green pastures. So, as soon as you get them strapped in their car seat and you start driving and you turn the radio on low or something, they just go right off to sleep. They are tired. They need a nap. But until they're forced to take a nap, they won't do it. That's the way we are. God wants us to lie down and rest and trust Him. But He has to make us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes He does that by some trial in your life, by bringing you down, allowing you to go through a hard time. And that way He can get you to lie down and discover what David is discovering, that God puts us in the green pastures when we lie down. He restores our soul, and that's what we need. We need having our souls restored. To let go of our pride, let go of our rebellion and our selfish tendency to trust only in ourselves and do things our way. God allows you to rest in green pastures if we will only lie down and trust Him. And He plumps up your pillow and gives you a soft mattress. And He takes care of us when we allow Him to do that. Because He knows that we need rest. We need to recover. We need our souls to be restored. And He says He leads us by quiet waters. In some translations it says by still waters. But the idea is that he does not lead us by running waters, which might be dangerous. And the thing about sheep is they cannot swim, and if they fall in the water, they will sink. The water will clot up in their heavy fur and wool, and they cannot stay afloat in the water. So if they are by a stream that the water is moving, they won't lie down, or they won't drink. They won't reach in and get a drink out of a moving stream. It has to be still waters. And sometimes the shepherd, if they are by a moving stream, he will dig a hole or dig a little channel off to the side so that the water is still. And that way the sheep will go up and take a drink. And that's true in our life, that when we trust in God as our shepherd, He takes us into places where we can be safe and we can be still. He provides green grass and still water for our spiritual restoration, to recharge us. We do that when we come together to worship. We do that when we open our Bible and we read at home, when we go into our closet and we pray, as Jesus teaches us. That we have quiet time with Him, He restores us. It's like when you have your cordless phone and you left it off the hook for a while. And the phone call comes in, but then it starts beep, 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 and it's just about to go out. You need to put it back on the charger. That's the way we are. We go too long without being in contact with God. And our soul drains and our soul is deflated. And we don't have any energy for God. God doesn't seem anywhere near us. He's far away because we have not recharged. So He makes you to lie down in green pastures. He restores your soul. It is like when you're learning to swim. One of the hardest things is getting a person to realize that, you know, you can lean back and your body will float. Being able to learn that simple lesson that you can trust that your body can float in the water. But until we realize that, we fight against it. And then you cannot learn to swim. We have to learn to rest in God that way. That God is there. He's going to take care of us. He's going to protect us. He's going to watch over us. And those are like being by the quiet waters where your soul can be restored. It's not my ability, it's not my strength that is going to get me through the day. It's not going to hold me up. I'm not going to be safe trusting in myself. I need to be in His loving arms and allow myself to rest there in confidence that He is my shepherd. But He says He guides us in the paths of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So we have a navigational system. A lot of us have GPS technology in our cars now, with hooking into the satellites, and it can pinpoint your positioning and help you to go to where you need to get. God is our navigational system. Because like sheep, we are directionally challenged in life. We cannot get where we need to go without help. We'll get lost. We'll wander off. We'll go the wrong way. And God is our system to guide us. But you have to have the GPS in your car. It doesn't do any good to have it in your parents' car or your grandparents' car. A lot of us try to live off someone else's faith. We think that we can kind of ride piggyback on mom and dad or our friends who read and study their Bible. But we don't actually have the guidance system installed in our vehicle. So the Lord, He guides me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. It is for His name's sake. And we've been learning about the names of God, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those that the righteous run into it and are safe. God, because of His name's sake, guides us in the paths of righteousness for His glory. By guiding our life, by us allowing Him to guide our life, He receives the glory. To His name be the glory. David said in Psalms 34, he said, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And of course, to magnify the name of God is to make it bigger, to make God's name bigger. It doesn't make God Himself larger, but He is enlarged in our eyes. We are able to see Him better when we are allowing Him to lead us and guide our lives. We do that through God's Word, through prayer, through being a part of the church and being with other people who are focused on serving Him and staying on the right path. Those are the paths of righteousness. And we have to rely on God to help us reach that point. But then he says, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Going through the valleys is the part of life that is most difficult for us. We cannot stay up on top of the mountain all the time. We would like to. We like to live on the mountaintops and be have everything just the right way. Your job is good. Your finances are good. Your health is good. Your family is good. Your friends are good. Your faith is good. Everything is good. And yet, as we go through life, you can't stay up on the mountain and move. When you're on a mountaintop, you look out and you see that there's other mountains there, but there's valleys. You have to go down through the valley to get to the other mountain peaks. And so David is saying that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And it's in the valleys that the dangers are lurking, the dark places. When sheep would go through those dark areas at night, they would be very vulnerable to attacks. And in life, we go through the valleys. But God is with us. He will help us. And we have to keep walking. When you get down in the valley, you can't stop. You have to keep walking. You have to keep moving. And eventually, you will get back up onto the next ridge with God's help. But sheep are not intelligent enough to know that. So the shepherd is there to be with them, to lead them and guide them, so that they don't get down in the valley and they wander off and be attacked by some predator. Well, when God allows us to go through the valley of shadows, it doesn't mean that He has abandoned us. He is actually there leading us. He is helping us. David understood the reality of the shadow of death. He had been there. He had experienced that. But he had been able to see that God's presence was with him through all those times. We're not alone. His rod and His staff, they comfort us. And we finally come to understand God is present with me when He is present all the time with me. and I can trust Him to help me get through the dark shadows that are there in life. There's really no safer place in life to be than in the valley with God. You might be up on the mountaintop, but if God is not with you, you're much safer to be in the valley with Him. Just like Daniel was in the lion's den. In Daniel chapter 5, he was thrown in the den of lions, but he was sleeping. And the next morning, the king came to check on him, and the king said, "I couldn't sleep all night. I was worried about you." And Daniel, in fact, was saying, "Well, why were you worried about me? God was with me." So when we are in the valley, God is with us, and we're still safe there. So don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. The Lord is there. He is going to get us through. He's going to see us through these trials that we have. So he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Sheep needed to have oil put on their head because it would get caked with mud and things, and their skin would dry out, and they would have cuts and sores going through the bushes, and sometimes it would start bleeding. The shepherd would come, and he would have a little vial of oil, and he would rub it on their head. And that was a way for them to have healing. He knew how to provide a solution so that they could have peace again. And as a result of that, he's saying, "My cup overflows, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Because of God, we can have a life of abundance, peace, security and safety, and confidence and hope and joy. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, he says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So when he's saying that my cup overflows, he's simply pointing out that all of my needs have been met by my shepherd. Every situation of life that has arisen, God has been there to provide. And therefore, I am secure. I'm at peace. I'm a dumb sheep, but I have a shepherd that is protecting and watching over me. So he says, "Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He doesn't say, "Hopefully I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Surely I will dwell." There is no doubt about it. It's not perhaps, maybe, hopefully, possibly. Surely I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Is that the relationship that you have with Jehovah, Yahweh, Rohi this morning? The Lord is your shepherd. Can you truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? And read through this psalm and have it meaning true in your life, because you have allowed Him, you are willing to lie down and trust that He will provide for you every need you have in life. We're going to stand and sing the song of invitation, and we're going to use number 642, "The Lord is My Shepherd." We invite you to come as we stand and sing.
642. "The Lord is my shepherd,
I'll not want.
He makes me down to lie.
soul.